What is at the heart of it is a voracious clinging to what is called love. I always gripped that thrill, that fuchsia carbonation, swarm of blush-colored butterflies colonizing the gut, and I believed it meant something beyond a temporary flush of feeling. It's what I knew of theater, of God. I wanted the play to never end, red curtains permanently drawn back like the lips around the smile of an actress dead before her time. I wanted God to never rise into the air and return transparent and desexualized, resolved in his own narrative, at peace with himself, because his peace meant I was no longer necessary. It began early when I was a girl, wandering the village seeking Jesus. I loved the mechanics of salvation. Some churches made you squeeze, shut your eyes, and raise your hand if you wanted to invite him into your heart, and I could see the thick oaken door, hear the rusty hinges squeaking open, and Jesus walking into the hot burgundy room, my blood roaring like Niagara when you walk behind the falls. Other times you were asked to stride to the front of the church and publicly hand over your life to God so the congregants could witness your ecstasy, more intimate than a lover watching your unguarded face during orgasm, because in church there were no sexy conventions to hide behind, no poses learned in movies or magazines. They would see the raw, unwieldy moves of a body in the throes of desire without pretense. I can't for the life of me remember how I transferred that largesse to a boy as frail as Danny Davis, whose family lived in a low gray shack on Bertrand Road. When he walked onto the school bus, so early in the morning the world inside the bus was dark as the church broom closet, I trembled like a newborn. When he exited at the end of the day, in winter the sky having already darkened again, a strip of pale orange sunset running behind his house like the shabby ribbons we'd tie onto our pony's mane if we'd had a pony, I'd feel more bereft than I had the day my father died. As the day my father died, I was numb. I needed a template for how to feel, a map for how to walk, now that he was dead, to my brownie meeting or my best friend's house, whose toddler brother proclaimed when I finally made my way through the door, "Your dad's dead," like he was announcing a victory, like I had won something, a cake or a beauty pageant. I would like to end there, as what comes later is adulthood, where thematic iterations throb like pulsars, metrical as the contractions of an orgasm. What I can't neglect, though I'd like to, is Sammy's Romanian, a restaurant on Christie Street in the Bowery on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, Sammy's on the vernal equinox in 1979. Filled with laughter, the tinny music from an electric keyboard and faded red balloons. Sammy's, with its small pitcher of chicken fat, schmaltz, throbbing gold at the center of each table. It's where and when Kevin and I were to be married, and how smart we were to want to stop time when we were at the zenith of our beauty. I wonder now, had we done it, and I want to bash my head against the wall thinking of it, could we have thwarted the rest? How he would die young, and I, well, here I am, alive. It is so early in the morning, all of the windows on my street are dark, just me here in this house, facing west, where the sun goes to die. And all things being equal, the wind is born, and wanders east, and bears down, and uproots everything that has not been nailed to a wooden cross.